Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What do we say we're doing around here? We are hearing, sharing, and living the gospel. That's right. Now, that can only happen through a steady diet of fasting, of feasting on God's word. Not fasting, but feasting on God's word. Now, to do that, we need to become strong. We need to become strong in chewing on the meat of the Bible. To that end, I'd encourage you, if you're available this Wednesday, to come to the study, or if you're available on Tuesday to come to the Bible study, or Sunday morning, getting more involved actively in Bible study, it's a helpful thing. However, one of the things that holds people back, I think, from Bible study, and I know it holds some people back, is the fear of looking bad, along with a lack of confidence in their knowledge of the Bible. But like many things in life, practice makes perfect. Now, I used to live in Seattle, and I would go to the Mariners games, and I would love to go to the Mariners games early because I would like to watch batting practice. But it always struck me as a little odd. These guys were professionals, right? And so they had to practice batting. After all, that's what they're paid to do, right? Babe Ruth was one of the greatest baseball players of all time. People usually remember, how many home runs did he hit? Oh, come on. Yes, 714. But did you know that Babe Ruth struck out 1,330 times? He struck out almost twice as much as the number of home runs he hit. Learning from our mistakes is part of success. And for a baseball player, success means hitting the ball. And it's taking batting practice that makes a baseball player better and better able to hit the ball. It's that practice that makes them better at what they do. Well, the same is true of Bible study. We also can get better at it as we practice it. But some folks still feel, why should I? I just don't think I'm going to get better at it. Well, without practice, yeah, that's true. So, let me give you a reason to practice. And I also want to give you some confidence in your ability to understand the Bible. You already know the basics of all you need to know, but you may not know that you know. It's here in the gospel lesson today. And it's also in the epistle lesson as well. If you look again at the gospel lesson, the last verse says, read it with me, please. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now, this is what gives us a basis for understanding all that we read in the Bible. It was after. It was after Jesus was raised from the dead that the disciples recalled what Jesus has said. And then they believed the scripture and the words of Jesus. After Jesus had been raised from the dead, they then understood the scriptures and Jesus' words. So, because of Jesus dying on the cross and rising again, we too, like the disciples, understand the message in God's word for us. And that message is that God is for us. And that God loves us. And understanding that changes everything. That's what we talked about in Sunday school this morning with Luther. Understanding that righteousness is a gift. That's what God's message is to us in the Bible. No one can do for themselves what Christ on the cross has done for the world. That's why the disciples did not fully understand what Jesus was speaking about till after they had seen him die for them and their sins, and then rise again to new life. It wasn't until that point that understanding the scriptures came for them. And that's why I said, you already know what you need in order to practice Bible study. Jesus, you know, has died on the cross for you and your sins and was raised again for your redemption. That is the lens. That cross is the lens, the eyepiece, through which we now look at the entire Bible. Go back to anything in the Old Testament and read it after hearing and digesting the truth of Jesus dying on the cross for the sins of the world. And then what you read becomes clearer. That lens, the cross, is our glasses, so to speak. And that brings into a right focus a study of the Bible. Now, I'm not saying there aren't still mysteries in Scripture. Of course there are. The cross itself is a mystery, perhaps the greatest mystery of all. But when that mystery of the cross is received in our hearts and minds, as it's meant to, as a gift for us from God, then the rest of Scripture's mysteries begin to come into a clearer understanding. To me, the real mystery is that God loves us. God loves us. And here's that proof. The cross of Jesus Christ. That cross and Jesus' resurrection is what gave the disciples the understanding they needed to begin to grasp Scripture and God and Jesus' words. It's good enough for the disciples, folks. I think it's good enough for us as well. So, look at the Old Testament lesson of the day. I don't know if you've seen this. There's a picture of Moses holding some tablets, and it says, "These got downloaded onto my tablet from the cloud." Didn't know if you'd seen that one or not. It's the Ten Commandments today, right? Knowing that Jesus died and rose again teaches me that the Ten Commandments, though they are there to show me how I am supposed to treat God and others in my life, those commands now no longer separate me from God's love if I break them. Why? That's because the cross alone gives us that understanding. Now, practicing looking at the Scriptures that way, through the lens of the cross, gives me a greater understanding in all of my Bible study. Now, I know I have my own, and I'm sure you have your own pet sins. Or maybe you put it another way, the sins that plague us or repeat themselves from the Ten Commandments. So I've chosen one of the commandments to give us a practical way this cross lens can teach us how that works. The ninth commandment is, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. Now, in Luther's Small Catechism, this is what we read about the ninth commandment. What does this mean? Say it with me. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not scheme to get our neighbor's inheritance or house or get it in a way which only appears right, but help and be of service to him in keeping it. Did you catch that last phrase? But help and be of service to him in keeping it. That phrase is what Luther used to show us what the cross can teach us about the ninth commandment. It's not for us to simply not do the don'ts of the Ten Commandments, but there are things that the cross teaches us we can do to demonstrate that the cross indeed, grace indeed, God's righteousness, gift of righteousness indeed, has changed us. In the case of the ninth commandment, we learn not only that we are not to covet what others have, but the cross shows us that we are to help others in their needs of the body in this life. After all, that's what God has done with us. He has come to our home, so to speak, and helped us to keep it by paying our mortgage on the cross. And by doing so, he allows us to now live rent-free in his kingdom. So the cross teaches us to help others in their needs as well. That's what practicing Bible study is like, with the cross as the lens to look through. Now, we also said that what we need to know about Bible study comes from the epistle lesson as well. So listen again to verses 23 and 24. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is found in Christ crucified. It isn't in our own cleverness or knowledge or learning. The wisdom of God is found in the mystery of the cross and the faith that God gives us to trust in that mystery. That's what changes us, makes you different than when you walked in here. That's what changes us and gives us a way of trusting what God says throughout all of his word. So we study that word. We study that word knowing that the wisdom of God is unleashed in the cross of Jesus. Knowing that not only changes how we see Scripture, it also changes how we see all of life. Again, in our study this morning with about Luther, that's what changed him, how we see all of life. The cross changes what you want to see. There was an immigrant's son who came home for a visit after his first year in business college. He told his shopkeeper father that he was running his business all wrong. He could be making a fortune if he just changed his methods. He said, "Father, you're too nice to your customers and not concerned enough about profit. Where's the profit you deserve after all these years?" The immigrant father said, smiling at his son, he said, "Son, let me tell you something. When I arrived in this country 30 years ago, all I owned was the pants I was wearing. Now, your sister is an art teacher. Your brother is a doctor. And soon you will be an accountant. Your mother and I own a house. We have a car and a little store. And besides that, I have all these wonderful friends who have been my customers for decades. Now, if you add all of that up, subtract the pants, there you'll find your profit." The father obviously had a different view of profit and success than his son. Our view of life has been just as dramatically changed by the cross of Jesus Christ. It changes. The cross changes what you want in life and what you want from God and what you want from others and even what you want from yourself. You change because you now want to see things through the lens of this cross of Christ crucified. This cross is the wisdom of God. You now know God loves you, and the cross is the proof. So whatever or whoever you're dealing with, whatever struggle with sin, the invitation to temptation, or whatever it is, you see that now with the idea of what I want in this situation, given that I know the cross shows that Jesus loves me. I'm different. And I want different things now because of his foolish love in my life. We have the cross of Christ to help us see what we want. We want to live denying temptation its power. We want to do that because of the power of the cross of Christ in us. And then remember also the epistle lesson today, which reminds us how foolish the cross looked to the world, how it looked like losing to the world. Millions of people watched as Greg Norman, blew a huge lead in the Masters golf tournament back in the spring of 95. He lost to Nick Faldo. After the debacle, Norman says he experienced the most touching few days of his life. People from all over the world contacted him with words of encouragement. The mail ran four times the volume of what Norman received when he won the British Open in 1993. It changed my total outlook on life and on people, Norman said about his defeat. There's no need for me to be cynical anymore. My wife said to me, "You know, maybe this is better than winning the green jacket. Maybe now you understand the importance of it all." Norman goes on to say, "I never thought I could reach out and touch people like that. And the extraordinary thing is that I did it by losing." And losing is what the cross looked like to the world. But in truth, according to the epistle lesson today, it is the wisdom of God for all who trust in its godly power. That cross is what changes us. That cross is what gives us the confidence to go to Scripture and read, study, mark, and inwardly digest all that God's wisdom can reveal to us through His Word. Remember, what changed the view of the disciples' understanding of Jesus' words was Jesus crucified and then risen from the dead. That's what changes us also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the words of our